Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Amen. It is so good to have you in church today. My name is Pastor Rich, and I'm the pastor at Crossroads, and it's a new year. And usually when we embark on a new year, we usually have some resolutions that we want to make, or maybe we can make some goals. And it's important for us to have some goals, whether they be personal goals or whether they be goals as a church. And today, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. If you'd like to open up your Bibles, there in Ephesians chapter 4. And by the way, we do have a handout this morning with some key verses and key sentences. If you want to follow along, we'll also have some of the information on the big screen. If you want to follow along there as well, that would be available to you. And the title of the message today is this. The title of the message is, The Goal is Growth, Spiritual Growth, that is. So when we look at the word growth, we can look at the word growth in so many different ways. For instance, it can have so many meanings. For instance, you can have physical growth. When you're young, like our son Elijah, who has sprung up past me in the last couple of years and now towers over Kathy and I. This is a picture of us in the Connection Center over Christmas time. You know, Elijah wasn't always that tall. There was a time where we would wrestle, and I could kind of like body slam him to Timbuktu, and I could lift him up for that suplex, and I could have him up in the air and give him that airplane spin and toss him feet across the bed, and then he'd bounce and hit the ground, and But you know, you have that physical growth, but it's not like Elijah's little anymore. Now he grabs me in that headlock, and I have to tap out. Okay. What's the word for that when you tap out? I can't remember. I give or whatever I say. Uncle. That's it. I cry uncle. That's it. You know, things are different, but that's what happens when physical growth takes place. But you also have that, the opposite of physical growth. You have the physical shrinkage. And basically that happens when we get older. And why does that happen? I don't like that happening. I noticed I've been shrinking, and I don't like that. But in addition to that physical growth, we also have a different kind of growth that is known as, in your notes, it says spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Now, wouldn't it be great in 2024 for us as individuals to grow, but grow spiritually, to grow in our relationship with God? Because growing with God has so many benefits. Growing with God helps us because as we grow in our vertical relationship with God, it benefits us in our horizontal relationships with others. It helps us at home. It helps us at work or school. It helps us just in general in our relationships with others who we come into contact with each and every day. Why? And the reason why is because as we grow with God, we become more like Christ. We become more Christ-like in our speech. We become more Christ-like in our actions, in our outlook. It's no longer about having an outlook of doom and gloom, but it's an outlook that occurs when things in our life aren't going our way, but our perspective changes from doom and gloom to let's see what God's going to do in this situation. But just like the opposite of physical growth is physical shrinkage, instead of growing spiritually, it is possible for you to go backwards. Instead of you growing as a Christian, it's possible for your faith, it's possible for your walk with the Lord to be stagnant and even shrink. Ever been there? I think we all have. We all have. Maybe some of you are there right now. You're not really walking with the Lord like you should. Maybe you're not really walking with the Lord like you used to. Maybe you've taken a step back or two. And you have to understand this, that taking steps forward towards spiritual maturity is essential for you in this life. So we have physical growth. We have spiritual growth. And then in your notes it says this, there's another kind of growth known as church growth. Sometimes this is called numerical growth, which a lot of church people focus on nowadays, probably more than spiritual growth. You know, praise the Lord, we have almost a packed house in here this morning, and We've got a lot to be thankful for as far as how God has been working in and moving in through our church numerically. But the majority of people in the United States, they think church growth is the measuring stick. How many people that you have indicates whether or not the church is growing. They think that a church that has more in attendance this year than last year, a church that has a larger budget this year than last year, maybe a larger building than they did the previous year, they added multiple buildings, is a church that's growing. I remember one pastor told me this many years ago. He said that you have to keep building buildings. You have to keep turning up the dirt. And when you keep turning up the dirt, that way the people know that the church is growing. One popular church growth book featured this very prominent church in our country. And it says this about this church. It says, since 1966, this church grew from 125 people to 13,500 people. They said, speaking of themselves as church, they said, we went through 5 building programs, 2 complete relocation projects. The last relocation project cost the church $90 million. They said, we've gone from an annual budget in 1966 of $18,000 to an annual budget now of $18 million. But that's the popular definition of church growth. According to most, church growth is measured by the 3 B's: bodies, budgets, and bricks. With more people, more money, and bigger things. And I just have one thing to say to all that. Hogwash. Hogwash. Hey, don't get me wrong. As I said, I'm very thankful for this, what we have here at Crossroads, where almost every seat is full this morning. And don't get me wrong. As Christians, we should be giving. We should be sharing our faith. We should be inviting people to church. We should be adding to the church. But the main goal is not about being the biggest church in town. A church can be the biggest church in town, but does that mean that they're the best church in town? No, absolutely not. For instance, you know, we just finished the Christmas season. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. But, you know, you could have had the biggest present underneath that Christmas tree. But does it mean it's the best present? No, it doesn't. Sometimes kids or grandkids, they open that big old box and they're more infatuated with the box than they are what's in the box, huh? They like playing inside that empty box. And sometimes they say the best things come in small packages. So as we talk about growth here this morning, since growth is one of the top priorities of every church, those who measure church growth by bodies, by budgets, and by bricks will often use whatever means necessary to get such things. I saw a comment strip this past week, and I love this. It shows the pastor meeting with some individuals about ideas on how to grow the church, and I love the caption. He says, hey, besides calling every Sunday Easter, does anyone else have ideas to improve church attendance? Let's just call every Sunday Easter, and that way we can really improve our attendance. But there's all kinds of things and methods that churches are using now to try to increase the bodies in the church. I read about the church in California that's been employing different innovations, and one of the things that they are doing is employing different gimmicks, such as having wrestling exhibitions in church. And hey, folks, we're not going to have wrestling matches here at Crossroads. If this church is going to grow, I know you'd like to see Wade Rowden against, you know, Jim, but, you know, that's not going to. Okay, that's not going to take place. Hey, if this church is going to grow, it's going to be because we are teaching and preaching the Bible. And the Bible, the gospel, it's the power of Christ that's going to change lives and help people grow in a different way. You see, what if God's idea of church growth is not what I had just mentioned that these other churches are trying to employ? But what if God's idea of growth is measured by something entirely different? The answer is relatively simple. If a poor definition of church growth leads to faulty goals, which in turn leads to flawed methods to achieve those goals, the simple fix is this: it's to get the correct definition of church growth. And let me start by saying this. The church is not the building, right? The church is the people. And since the church is defined as the people of God who desire to follow Jesus in this world, basically that means that church growth occurs when the people of the church start growing or continue to grow in spiritual maturity. So a good definition of church growth is this. This is in your notes as well, and we have it on the screen. It says, church growth is teaching and training the people who are in the church to become what God wants them to be so that they can do what God wants them to do. Now, that definition of church growth is drawn primarily from our passage today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And these verses show what church growth is and how church growth is really accomplished. If you can look with me, Ephesians 4, verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body, that's every believer, is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. The definition of church growth is not only in these two verses, but it was foreshadowed in verse number 13, where Paul describes the model that church growth is patterned after. And it's patterned after a person. Look with me at verse number 13. It says, until Paul writes, he says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the who? Son of God. Into a complete man or a mature person. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, for instance, there was a blueprint or there's a model that we need to follow. An example I wanted to share with you is this. Those of you that probably have been a part of some kind of construction project where a house was built, or you know someone that built a house, you know, that completed building should look like the model. For instance, we have something on the screen here for an example. The builders of that house, they had a blueprint or they had a model to follow so they knew what the end result should look like. Amen? Amen. In your notes, it says this. It says the model of church growth in the Bible is in verse 13 and verse 15. And the model, it is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. So a church is growing when the people in the church are becoming more like who? Christ, right? The blueprint. We're becoming more like the blueprint, more like the model. We're becoming more like Christ. And remember, the word church is not defined by how many people meet, or even when they meet, or even where they meet. The church consists of the people who follow Jesus in this world. And church growth happens when individual Christians who make up the church grow, and they grow in spiritual maturity. In your notes, it says this. This happens by learning the Bible and learning to obey the Bible. And they do this by learning what their spiritual gifts are. People learn, what are my spiritual gifts? They find ways to put those into practice. So that way they can become who God made them to be and they can do what God wants them to do. That's biblical church growth. I read in a book one time that great churches are not measured by their seating capacity, but they're measured by their sending capacity. They're measured, their success is sending people outside of these doors to live like Christians in the world. That's a truly successful church. So regardless of its size, a biblical church can still be a vibrant and a growing church. Why? Because the people are growing spiritually. They're hungry. Not so much for a quarter pounder with cheese and a Jamocha shake. But they're hungry for this. They're hungry for the Bible. They thirst and hunger for righteousness. And as long as I'm preaching here at Crossroads, those of you that hunger and you thirst for the Word, you will be fed the Word of God. It says in your handout, church growth, therefore, is about building up one another to Christ-like maturity and service. And that's what verse 16 talks about. It talks about how we, as we are employed by Christ and given gifts, we are to use those gifts to build up one another in Christ, to help us all grow in Christ. You see, one of the greatest ways for you also to build up one another in Christ is by being in a small group. I know Cody alluded to this earlier, but we have this slide on the screen. It's called Group Connect. And I know many of you are already in a small group, and praise the Lord for that. But in 2 weeks, on January 21st, there's going to be representatives from every one of our small group Bible studies that will be set up at tables in the Connection Center. And if you are not in the group, this is your golden opportunity to try out a group. And believe me, I wouldn't be preaching about this if I didn't think it was important. Being in a small group was one of the major reasons why Kathy and I fully connected to church and we were able to develop and grow in our faith as Christians, was by being in the group. And it's one of the best things you can do to build up your faith in Christ-like maturity, to connect with other believers in Jesus in a setting where you can make godly friendships, in a setting where you can ask questions, where you can answer questions, where you can be prayed for, where you can be encouraged. Being in a small group will help you to mature in your faith. And when you mature in your faith, you will mature in other areas such as stability in your life. You'll mature in your speech. You'll mature in your actions. You'll mature in your relationships with others. And this doesn't mean that you're not going to mess up occasionally. None of us are perfect. We all mess up. Amen? And by the way, don't beat somebody over the head if they mess up, because we all do. But maturing in your faith will help you to mess up less. Amen? A church in which the people are maturing is a growing church, regardless of how many people are here, where they meet, how much money is in their budget. And I'm realistic. I know money is needed for ministry. We have expenses to operate all these buildings on our property, you know, to pay our missionaries, to operate our ministries, to pay our employees, to get out the gospel. We are not supported by any outside entity. We're not supported by the government. You know, we are 100% supported financially by you, by our people. But giving to the church should be something that you don't feel forced to do. You don't feel coerced to do, but it should be something that you want to do. It's something that is simply an outflow of being a maturing Christian, realizing that you have a gift and you have been blessed by God. And your desire is that every time you get paid, you have a desire to give back to God a portion of what he's given you. It's helpful to think about church growth, you know, the way that we think about a family. Nobody thinks that only large families are successful. While I myself am one of five children, and I believe that even though I came from a family of seven, my mom, my dad, and us five kids, and I believe my parents did a great job raising us, it wasn't because we weren't successful because there were five kids and we had a large family. That's not the reason why. Similarly, we don't think a family is a failure because they don't grow from one child to two children or two children to four children. That has nothing to do with it. A family with one child or even no children can be just as successful as a family with five or six or seven kids, right? That's the number is not the measure of success. It's how they grow together in love and in unity and in faithfulness to each other and to others. You know, we don't think a family is a failure because the parents don't get raises at their jobs every year. We don't think that a family is a failure because they can't afford to buy a new car every couple years or buy a bigger house. Family growth and success is not accomplished by the size and the wealth of the family, but it's measured by the growth of the individuals in the family and the spiritual maturity. The family that goes to church together, the family that brings home what they learn in church and they practice it at home, They say that the family that prays together stays together. When families are united together in their desire to follow after God, that has the greatest chance to improve their family life. Amen? It's the same with the church. True growth occurs when Christians grow up into Christ-like maturity so that they love God, they love others, and they love the world more and more every day. It's not something that you're going to do alone, but it's something that you're doing with other believers in Jesus. Look with me one more time in verse number 16. The Bible says this. It says, from whom the whole body, that's all the believers in Jesus, the whole body is joined together and connected together by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work. And what happens? It grows. It's building itself up in love. You know, those of you that are football fans, if you watch a football game, for instance, I'll give this illustration. When you see that receiver running down the field and that receiver leaps high into the air and with those soft fingertips makes this spectacular catch, it's a beautiful sight. There I am in high school. You can't tell it's me? It's a work of art, right? But that doesn't just happen. With that individual, as you see on the screen there, when you see that individual on the screen, for that to happen, the entire body, every part in that individual's body have to be cooperating with all the other parts in order to make that spectacular catch. Amen? And just like verse 16 says, when it speaks about this body, the body of Christ, and this is in your notes, it says when the whole body, the church body, is joined together and connected and every part does its work, it grows. It grows. It will build itself up. Not physically, not numerically, but the most important, spiritually. So in 2024, the goal is growth. And I encourage you to put some feet to it. If you're not in the Word of God at all and not reading the Word, there's a great Bible plan, several Bible plans that we gave you on the handout for suggestions to start getting in the Word, even if you're just reading one verse a day to get in the Word of God. If you're not faithful to attending church, make it a point to come to church every Sunday. Man, you have perfect attendance so far in 2024. Just keep coming. Unless you're sick, out of town, make it a point to be at church. If you're not in a small group, January 21st is your day. It's your opportunity to see what all is available as far as small groups, though. Talk to our group leaders, representatives from the group. If you're not tithing, you're not giving anything back to God, start trusting God with just a little bit. And see what he will continue to do to meet your needs as he grows your faith in that area of your life. If you're not volunteering or you're not serving anywhere in the church, I encourage you at least once a month, get involved and see what God can do in and through you to be a blessing to other people. You know, in the cards, in the seats in front of you, we have those cards that are there every week. And on one side of the car, there's a yellow label up top that says something like ministry opportunities. It's your way, again, to get involved in what God is doing here at Crossroads. Look over that list. Check one of those boxes. Drop it off in the offering box on the way out. But again, it's getting involved in what God is trying to do in and through you to help you further your maturity in him. And again, it's not only for your benefit, but ultimately, it's for his honor and for his glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? As we're in an attitude of prayer and we reflect on this message today, my encouragement to you is realize that the only truth is the truth from God's word. And that's what's going to help us to grow spiritually. when lives are transformed, when lives are changed, that's when God is pleased the most. May our goal this year in 24 be for us to mature as individuals. Because as we mature as individuals, the church will begin to mature as well as a whole. We begin to grow. You might say, Pastor Rich, I've been growing for a long time. I've been saved for a long time. Praise Jesus for that. But my question for you is, have you arrived? Are you just like the model? Are you just like the blueprint Jesus? None of us are there yet. We all still have room to grow. Spiritual growth is a continual process until we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's continue to grow. Let's continue to flourish for Jesus in 2024. Lord Jesus, we do thank, Lord, that this message is applicable to each and every one of us. Lord, no one is exempt from this message here today. We all have room to grow. And I pray that you would work in each and every one of our hearts and show us, Lord, the areas that we need to grow. And Lord, I know that you will continue to bless as we seek you through our service, Lord, through every area of our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.